If you want to go ahead and state your name and when and where you were born.
Oh, y'all, my full name from way back when I started.
Sure.
Leela Jones Howe Cully. I was born in on 8/15/1917, 5 miles northwest of Arnett, Oklahoma.
And I'm Ann Cole, and I was born in Ellis County in the first month, third day of 27.
Okay.
But my maiden name was Richardson, if you need that.
And we got a copy of your questions that you had filled out, so double duty there. And you get to be number three.
Stella Lawaker. What else is it you want?
Your birthday and where you was born.
Oh, I was born in 1915 on 25 Mile Creek in 1915.
So you're all local.
Yes. We lived through it. We're still here.
We're the hardy ones, too.
Well, we'll just kind of start and let you just talk about what a typical day was like for you. You don't have to start with Dust Bowl stuff necessarily. Just, you know, your typical day in the 1930s. If there was such thing.
Well, we got up pretty early. I mean, pretty around 5. Most of us up was 5, between 5 and 6. I had breakfast, which was a full breakfast in those days. I can remember, that's when my father was still living, I can remember that we had fried chicken and gravy and biscuits and, I believe, fried potatoes. The one thing that I can remember about my father, mother always took the brains, you know, out of the head of the chicken and fried it. And I was sitting in this high chair, and my father was going to open that up for me to eat the brains, and I didn't want him to. He jerked me up and took me in the bedroom and paddled me, and I didn't get my brains that day. Then there was the chores to do. There was milking to do, chickens to take care of. We had hogs, and the men then went, and the horses to feed, and the men went to the field, and in the summer, there was garden work to do, plenty of garden work.
That's all.
The end. So now it's your turn because she's done.
Well, mine was about the same. We'd get up early, and it was my job to go get the horses in, and they'd always be at the end of the pasture, about a mile and a half away. Didn't fail. And I wasn't a very big kid, but anyway, I was really scared. I'd go out there by myself, and there'd always be a coyote or something, you know, and I was kind of leery of getting them in. But that was my job, get them horses in. And I had two older sisters, and they'd be helping Mom get the breakfast, and an older brother that helped Dad with the milking. And whenever they got the chores done, well, then we'd have our breakfast. And like Leela said, we had biscuits and gravy and potatoes and pork chops or something like that, huge breakfast, and cereal with pure cream. And I always ate cereal with pure cream. Now, if I'd eat it, it'd make me sick. But then we'd have to do your chores, you know, around the house, and I'd have to help wash the separator. Had 11 million discs then, it seemed like. I'd have to go out there and wash that old separator every morning. Now, at night, they just run some hot water through it. But in the morning, then I'd have to wash that separator. And it was always my job to dust. And during the Dust Bowl days, the old windows would be so full of dust that we'd have to take a little whisk broom and sweep it out. And my older sisters would take the curtains down. This was like on a calm day, if we had a nice, sunshiny, calm day. Then they'd take the curtains down and shake them. And shoot up, my curtains could be hanging in my house nowadays for 3 years and taking out. I wouldn't get near the dust out of them. But anyway, then when I got the sweat out, all of it could get, well, then I'd get a wet rag and wash it. Because, see, we didn't have electricity. Uh-huh. No vacuum cleaners or nothing like that. And my mother had an organ. It had about a million curlicues around it. And I'd dust on that thing. And my older sister would come by. You didn't get that off. Do it again. And I hated that thing. Because I just couldn't ever get the dust all off of it. And then, of course, the folks would go to, the dad and brother, and sometimes me. I had to go to the field and chop weeds along with my brothers. And my little brother, he'd bring us a drink and maybe a sandwich in the middle of the morning, may say 10 o'clock, and then we'd go into the house and eat dinner. And then in the afternoon, maybe they'd bring us lemonade or something with a sandwich. And we'd have this big meal at night and be dark before you went to bed, and before you got up at daylight.
I swallowed. Got it wrong.
Yeah. And I'd help feed the chickens and gather the eggs when I got big enough. Gather the eggs without breaking them, because they was really important. Now, we wouldn't get to eat an egg, but maybe once a week, because that was a treat to get to eat an egg. Because we took the eggs and the cream to town and sold them, and that's what bought our groceries, was with the cream and egg money. And we had an old Model T, but when the Dust Bowl hit, well, something happened to it, it wouldn't run, so then we didn't even have any transportation. And my dad would go with one of the neighbors, he'd pay him something, and he'd go with the cream and eggs to town and buy the groceries. And he'd always bring us kids a little sack of Red Hots home. And my oldest brother would get them. He'd divide them up. One for you, and one for you, and one for you. There's five of us children. And then he'd come, he said, I'm the biggest, I need two. So he'd take two, one, and then pretty soon he needed two more. He always ended up with more candy, and nobody ever said a thing, just because he was bigger and he needed more. But we played out in the yard. We made our own toys. We didn't have much toys. We'd take some old nails, old rusty nails, if we could find them, and pound them down on the ground and take some twine and tie them around. That would be our fence. And maybe we'd have corn cobs for the horses and a rock for a chicken or just, and, you know, we'd make our
play
farm. Yeah, we'd make our farm and play with that. You know, we had a lot of fun. We didn't know we was deprived or hard up. We just had fun.
Does that sound familiar for you?
And
part of it.
Yeah.
Of course, we didn't have any electricity, and we'd have to take our milk and our butter down to the cellar and put it down on the floor, because that's the coolest place there was to keep it. And then every meal, well, we'd have to go down there and get it and bring it back up and then take it back down when we got through. And I remember, of course, I don't know if Jell-O was just new then, but it was new to us. Oh, that was a great thing, Jell-O.
Yeah.
But we couldn't make it in the summertime because it wouldn't get cold enough, see. So we'd have Jell-O in the wintertime once in a while, and we'd have dessert once a week. We had dessert on Sunday, but during the week we couldn't afford dessert. And I remember when that dust bowl come in, when that big dust storm come in, we had gone over to the neighbors, and they had a pretty good-sized house. And me and their little boy, he was a year younger than I was, we was sitting out there on the porch, on the south side of the porch, and all these birds was going by. Man, all these birds. And we went in the house, hollered at the folks, well, their birds is just going south, just birds everywhere. We never seen so many birds. Well, then they come out, and there that dust storm was just almost on us. And they said, well, run to the cellar. So this little kid, he was just a year younger than I, and he got scared, and he took running off, and I run off after him and caught him and brought him back, because he was just panicked. He just was running. He went past the cave and was just still going. And, of course, we thought the world was coming to an end or something. But it was a beautiful day that day, and the folks had left the windows up. The doors was open. And whenever it passed and we went back home, we had to shake the bedding. It was just dirt. And we had to shake the bedding and do, you know, before we could even go to bed and try to clean up that dirt. You'd just get the house cleaned up. Here it was again. Do it again. And I don't remember. Of course, I didn't have the worries that the folks did because I was a kid. But one time during this period, why, I don't know how much the government was paying for the cows, but see, there wasn't enough food for the cows or the horses or nothing. But they come through, and they designated a farm, and the one they designated was about 3.5 miles from where I lived. And my dad picked out 3 or 4 old cows and drove them up there, and they slaughtered them. I don't know. I think they took these cattle and put them somewhere else. They ate them, you know, somewhere. But I know when he picked them cows out, I just cried to think that they had to walk 3 miles and then they was going to be killed.
Yeah. Do you guys remember that? The killing of cattle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you have a similar reaction?
Well, I don't think we had to have any killed, but I know some of the neighbors did.
Yeah.
My father, of course, he died in 27. He died before this dust storm days come along, and he raised Galloway cattle. So we had cattle and had just a little money, you know, that we could get by with. We wasn't quite as desperate as some of them. But, yes, I remember when they killed the cattle, and this new deal that come along helped some of the farmers and ranchers to stay in business because, you know, some of them was going to have to quit. I will tell you, are you through?
Well, I can tell some more.
Well, go ahead.
We'll just bounce all around.
I want to tell
them
about the Dirty Sunday. I remember that vividly. Go ahead, sure.
And then the government had some other kind of a deal. See, they had CC camp for boys. But my older brother didn't, he didn't go to that because he had to stay at home and help work. But my oldest sister went to a thing at Woodward. And I don't remember what they called it. But she sewed. That's what they had him there for.
Mm-hmm.
And they sewed up gowns and stuff for, like, Fort Supply up here at that time was an insane asylum, you know. And I don't know what all. But she would go up there on Mondays and stay till Friday. And, I don't know, she might have got $1 a day or something doing it. But she got her food. Mm-hmm. And that was real important because she got her food during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And while she was doing that, and I don't know, my train of thought just left.
Yes, you can tell your
story. Yeah, you can
tell
that.
Your,
we just cut it off, didn't we?
Tell your black story, your Black Sunday story.
Okay, my husband's folks lived 2 miles east of where I lived. We married in '33. I was still going to school, high school. Anyway, this particular day, Sunday. We couldn't go straight through because the road had been closed, so we had to go down Highway 60. The house is 1.5 miles north and 1/4 west of Highway 60. And we had to go around and go, and then they lived 1/2 mile north, 2 miles east. Well, we was over there that day, and we could see something coming up back there. Of course, we'd had dust storms before.
Mm-hmm.
Dust would blow, but oh, nothing like that. So we had a 35 coupe. And when we come off the highway, we had to kind of go down a hill. Oh, that thing was black. And, of course, she says, every debris, flower, birds, and thistles, and what all was ahead of it. Well, when we got down to the bottom of this hill, he had to stop. And it got so dark. I had on a white skirt, and he couldn't even see me in there. I don't know, it lasted, seemed like an eternity, but it must have lasted 15 to 20 minutes. Of course, you can't tell. But anyway, when it finally lightened up, so we could see where we was driving, we went on home. And at the time, we was living with my mother. Well, of course, she was out trying to get the chickens in. Oh, it was dusty. Oh, of course, she had the house shut up, so the house wasn't as dirty as it could have been open. But that's the one thing that I remember about that Sunday. Oh, I never saw anything like it. And that is a very good picture of it.
What do you remember about Black Sunday?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
Is that picture, is that the kind of thing that...
Yeah. Just a black cloud rolled in. And when it did, it put the dirt in the house just like it did outside.
Did you get stuck having to help clean all that up? All that dirt
that
was in your house?
Sure. Yeah. You had to clean all that up. Yeah. But when it was coming in, I don't know. I was just flabbergasted. I was just watching, see what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
And I never was scared.
Were you in there in your house when the Black Sunday hit?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And did you guys stay in the house, or did you go to a storm cellar?
Oh, no. We had to go see about the cattle and stuff like that. And we'd just go one way and see if all the cattle was in the pasture and stuff, and then go on and see about the horses and stuff like that, and then on to your next job if you could get the dirt out of your eyes and stuff long enough to see it.
And oh, the wind was horrible when that come in. It just, I don't have any idea, but it was really, really strong.
Is that what, in addition to the black cloud, is that what made it different? Was it windier than it was during these previous storms?
Well, it was a beautiful day, just as calm as it is outside today. When we went over to our neighbors, there just wasn't any wind.
It was
just a beautiful day.
But see, this originated, so I've been told, in the Dakotas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's oily, that soil and the electricity that it generated, that soil was oily. That's the reason it stuck so hard.
Because it was really hard to get off.
I had an aunt lived up in Colorado, and it's worse up there than it was down here. And I can remember when we went up there that, they had sandbanks like we had snowbanks. And it was so much worse. It would just swept everything. The fences, most of the wires was down. A lot of them was taken down to cross. And now we didn't have it like that here, but that was back in Colorado. But that dirt storm that come that was so bad, they say, come from the Dakotas and Nebraska. Candy picked up the dirt all the way along. And we didn't have communication then to tell you something was coming.
Right.
So I don't think we even had a radio or telephone.
We had a telephone. We had a telephone from way back. But shoot, no,
we didn't. No electricity or nothing.
Mm-mm,
we
no
just
electricity.
Lived out on the farm.
Nope.
And
mm-mm.
Raised what you ate mostly. And when the dust bowl, when the drought came, you couldn't raise anything.
Right.
My mother canned, she'd have 400 or 500 quarts of stuff in the cellar when fall came, that's...
What kinds of things was she canning?
Green, lamb's quarters, one thing I remember. We'd have to go out and pick that lamb's quarter. And,
I didn't know you could can that.
By the tub fulls.
What is it?
It's a weed. It's a green, wild...
Like spinach.
Yeah, it's got to taste
wild,
like spinach.
But lamb's quarter grows on the creek.
Yeah, somebody called it.
You don't cultivate it. It just grows, and it was good to eat.
And there was mulberries, trees there, and they always had mulberries, and we'd pick them mulberries and can them, and she'd make cobblers out of them mulberries and pies. She'd usually put some other fruit with them or something. And I've looked back on that, and I don't know how in the world my mother did all that work. She did have a gas-powered washing machine that her father bought when my youngest brother was born. So she didn't have to wash on the board anymore. And had an old Maytag gas washing machine.
That doesn't sound very safe.
Well, it worked. Never did blow up. It had a little old motor or something down there that you had a gas thing, on it. You fill this full of gas and pull a rope or something. I don't remember. It seemed like you had to pull a rope to get it started.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a gas washing machine? No.
My dad had already started.
I pulled them, though.
Yeah.
We'd wash. She'd put a big old boiler, double boiler, a great big old double boiler on and get the water real hot and put that in there. And then she'd put more water back on. Of course, we had to haul it from the well, pour it in there. And she boiled all the white clothes to get them clean.
Well, here was where I was born and raised. My father settled there in 1893. This is a dugout down here. That dugout didn't get near as dirty as this house did because it was down and I don't
went
know.
Over it.
Yeah, it went over it. But anyway, we had to. There was a well. He dug a well, and we had to carry water up that hill to the house until 1924 or 25. Anyway, he had a fellow come and dig a well, because I remember Witchy took forked peach limbs and hold them, and when you walk over a certain place where water was, that thing had just turned down. It never would turn for me, but it did for him. Because where he dug the well,
there was water.
That's where that thing would turn over. And then, see, that was in 25, that piped water into the house. And we had water in the house, but of course no hot water, but cold water. And then after he passed away in 27, my mother bought a Maytag gasoline-powered washing machine.
Was there any other kind? Was there any other brand of washing machine?
I don't know. Oh, I'm sure there was, but I don't remember.
I don't remember. That's
I don't even. Maytag was my mother had that was amazing. And Boyd was we was what the lead.
I can see somebody inside the house. Is that you in there?
Let me look. I didn't see that.
It probably could be. I don't know. I don't. It probably is.
Can you see?
It looks like a little.
No, I don't think it's me.
I can't tell.
It looks like a little brat.
Well, it could have been me. I don't remember.
If it was that, it's
and
probably
you know,
her.
I think it was a couple people peeking their heads out. How funny.
I can't. Well, I don't know. Anyway, and that's the only picture I've got of that dugout, of which I am very sorry that I didn't take more pictures of it. It's because it was something. Because that was the first building. Well, that was the first person between Higgins, Texas, and Arnett, Oklahoma. That was called the Flats. He left. He was born and raised in around San Angelo, Texas. And when he reached 21, he was the oldest of, I think, seven children. When he reached 21, he took his horse and his Colt gun and come north to Higgins, Texas, and went to work on a ranch out there. And during that was in 85. During that time, he was looking for a place with live water. That's the water, you know, a creek with springs.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1893, this is where he settled. It's Red Bluff Creek. Red Bluff Creek starts about a mile north of where this house is. And it runs down, and of course, runs through the Canadian River.
Yeah.
And to this day, they don't have to have windmills to produce water for the cattle.
He picked a good place.
Mm-hmm. What?
He picked a good place.
Yes, he did, and
Peach
I still have it.
Peach tea branches were right.
All right.
I got it in the 100-year deal back in 94.
What's the 100-year deal?
It's farms that have been in the same family for 100 years that is at least 40 acres and produces over $1,000 a year.
Are they called centennial farms? Mm-hmm. What is that, and what do you get for having that?
You get honorable mention, you get plaques, certificates, or whatever you want to call them. And also, if you have buildings that are 50 years old and are still usable, why, you get them in there, too. So I had those. I've got pictures at home of all that, but I didn't think you folks would be interested in that.
Yeah, it would have been great.
We were interested in lots of stuff.
But, yes, you have to prove. I had nothing. I started from scratch. I didn't have the patent. I didn't have the dates. And I thought he settled there. He come there in September of 93. But it was in January the 1st of 94. I had to write to Washington, D.C., to the archives and whatever that is, to get all those dates. Had I known, when they on September 16th, when they opened this country up for settlement, They had land offices. One was in Woodburn, one was in Alva, one was in Kingfisher, one was in Perry, and one was in Enid. Had I went to Kingfisher, I probably could have found out all that because of the paper, the copies that I got were dated January the 1st in 1894 in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. I had to send to Santa Fe, New Mexico for the copy of the patent. And when you get all of that together and prove to them that it's authentic, that's it. It took me 2 years, but I made it. There are several farms in Oklahoma. I believe the last I had a count, I was 280-some. But so many of them. We've got one right out west here, the Barr Farm. It's still, they were at our place several years ago, before 94, and I was telling them about that. So, and I gave them all the information for where to find stuff. And sure enough, they finally come out with it.
Well, my dad came out here and homesteaded in 1902. So next year, if Virgil wants to, he could get that.
It'd be your turn.
My
he
old
still,
brother.
He still lives on it.
Oh, no, he owns it.
He owns it. Okay, that's...
No, he lives in Woodward.
Okay, yeah. But, yeah, if he owns it and, you see...
I don't think there's any of the old buildings that's fit to live in anymore. I think they're all...
Well, there's those buildings. One of them was a shop, of which was still usable. One of them was a barn, of which they let cattle go in. One of them was a shed, of which we stored this, that, and the other. And let's see, what... And the house. That was the four buildings. But I've encouraged so many people to do that.
You're the spokesperson for the Centennial Farm.
I tried, but I haven't... There's the Word Ranch down south of Arnett. It's over, gosh, it's over 100 years old. It must be 105. And I told that grandson, all the original were gone, it's just grandkids. And his wife said, yeah, I'll get with that.
But they never
Well, no. He passed away. Charles passed away here a couple of years ago. They haven't done nothing with
Mrs. Lilacker, how did you end up in this area?
Huh?
How did you end up in Oklahoma? Engage.
Well, I was born there.
Born out on 25 Mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your parents?
In a log house.
Yeah? Where did your parents come from? Did they...
Well, they came from over by Enid.
They were already in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Headed here, and they...
My father died when I was less than a year old. My mother raised six kids.
Did she farm on a farm? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. What, a woman and six kids on a farm. What was your daily chores? What was something that was just you, your job to do on the farm?
Gee, I don't know.
You didn't get stuck washing dishes all the time or tending cattle all the time?
Washing dishes would have been easy, but we had to take care of hogs and cows and horses and everything else.
Yeah.
Did your mom ever remarry?
No.
Wow. I can't imagine. That seemed like maybe would have been kind of odd that she didn't remarry. That I would think that most women in that situation probably would have.
I don't think she had time.
She's probably right.
Could be.
She's probably right.
Well, do you guys remember when you were little, what kind of toys or what kind of games, what you did for fun when you were kids?
Oh, let's see.
Played store.
Yeah.
We'd play store, and if Mom would ever get a can of anything that from the town, we'd just beg her to open it on the bottom side so that we could use that empty can in our store. But we didn't, you just didn't buy stuff because, I was out on the farm and we ate what we raised. And, of course, once in a while, they'd buy something. And one of the things that she would buy was pineapple and pork and beans. And we had pineapple and pork and beans in our store for sale. And we just pretended, you know. We played with rocks, and we'd always get one present at Christmas time, one thing. And it wouldn't be expensive, but we always had one thing at Christmas time. And we really looked forward to Christmas. And what we had, we took care of. And I always had an old cat, you know, very changed cats, but I always had an old cat, and I'd play with them and dress them up.
Is there any particular Christmas or birthday that really stands out from you when you were little?
Well, one Christmas, I slept in the front room, and my bed was here, and then the sewing machine was there, and it was right in front of a window. And it was a real moonlight night, and I woke up in the night, and I could see the Christmas tree, because it was on the sewing machine. Of course, it was just a little tree. And I laid there for a long time, and I thought, well, there's presents under that tree. But I was afraid if I'd get up and look, I'd wake the folks up. But I did. I slipped out on the bed and crawled down to look under there, and there was a grape basket. You know, they used to come in long baskets, and they had a handle over them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my mother had covered that, put some material in it, and there was a little rubber doll about this big laying in there. And I seen that, and I said, I hope that's mine. I hope that's mine. Sure enough, it was.
Well, my most remembered Christmas, of course, I was raised alone. I had two brothers, but they was 12 and 13 years older than I was, and they left home. Oh, they was in high school, and then them and their daddy didn't get along, so they left home. So it was just me. And I would get a doll, because I always liked dolls. And I would get a doll probably at Christmas. But this one, and when I started school, I was 7 years old before I started. The school where I was going to go in our district was all boys. And my daddy decided I wasn't going to school with all those boys. So there was another country school 3 miles from there that it's called the BIM School. It's the little red schoolhouse now. It's all
we
the
saw that today. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where I got my first 6 years of education.
Wow.
And I rode a horse. It was 3 miles. Of course, I didn't go around the road. I went up through the field and cut through the pastures. And I know this particular Christmas, it was cold. So my dad dressed me up and put me on the back of his saddle horse, and we went and to this Christmas. I think I was in the program. Anyway, there was two or three of the most beautiful dogs you ever saw. Big dog. And every time they'd call one, is that mine? Is that mine? No, not mine. Well, I didn't get mine until the next morning, and it was just about that tall. But it was a doll. And then blocks. I played with blocks.
Yeah?
And I'd make pens and put, I don't know what I used for the cattle and horses and all, but anyway. And marbles. Oh, we shot marbles. Couldn't believe. Well, that was my thing.
Did you ever play jacks?
Oh, well, after I got bigger in school, big
jacks.
Enough to come to town school, I was in the fifth grade, then we had jacks, and I always wanted a pair of skates, and I just couldn't understand why I could never have a pair of skates, but we didn't have any place to skate on it out there in the country except the little old cement thing out in front of the door. It wouldn't be as big as this table, so...
We lived in the sand, all you had to do is take one step and use already under the sand.
I guess you didn't want any roller skates then. Or like snowshoes or something to stay on top of the sand.
Well, I rode a horse to school. I went 6 years to, after my daddy died, I still went to BIM. But the seventh and eighth grade, I went to the school where in the district. And that was about 2.5 miles. And I rode a horse to there. Well, then when it came for high school, that was 5 miles to Arnett. No bus, Then we had a car, but I wouldn't drive it. So I rode a horse to Arnett for 1 year. And then they started running buses, and then I had to walk to the highway to catch them.
Did you ever have, play with other kids, like, from town or from school?
We had a neighbor.
Come over?
Mm-hmm. We had, there was a neighbor lived 2 miles west of us, and she went to Bim when I did. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to play, and she'd come down and play with me, and I'd go up and play with her. Of course, I had a horse. I always had a horse because my daddy was a rancher, and so I always had a horse. So if nothing else, I'd go get my horse and just ride it.
One thing I remember is we really had to clean up our plates.
Oh, yes.
You didn't leave any food on your plates. And the first thing that was passed around was bread, and everybody took a slice of bread. You ate that bread with your meal. And if you took too much, you sat there till you ate it. You didn't. So you learned that now you could always have seconds if there was anything left. But if you took too much, one time we had some molasses, and of course we always churned our own butter, and I had mixed up this molasses with butter and had some cornbread. My mother baked cornbread. So I ate a piece of it, and I wanted some more. She said, "Are you sure you can eat?" "Oh, yes, I'm still real hungry." Well, I fixed a big old plate of it. Well, of course, that didn't take too long to get full. And I sat there probably till 4 o'clock in the afternoon before I got that ate. But that was one thing. You clean
so
up your plate.
Will you eat cornbread and molasses now? Or?
Well, yes, I still like it. But
I know sometimes people tell stories, "I'm not ever eating that again."
Well, I don't think I ate it at that time for quite a while, but I like it now. But
what was your favorite food treat? Something like maybe you would get when company was coming, or if it was, you know, a special occasion, something you didn't get to have usually. What was your favorite thing? You really look forward to having that.
When they came and said, fried chicken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fried chicken was
always
our
fried
chicken.
Of course, you had to
dress them that day.
Right. Yeah.
Go out and catch the old chicken and scald it and pick it. That was what
fried
I always had to do.
And
steak,
if you could have. If you could
we used to go to a country Sunday school, and there'd be two or three families come home with you after church and eat dinner with you.
When I'd get home from Bim, after I rode that horse 3 miles, I was starved to death. Well, there was generally always something to eat. This particular evening, or afternoon, my mother wasn't there. I don't know where she's at. But there was a quart of pears open. I ate nearly the whole quart of pears. I didn't want a pear for years. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, those were good. Mm. I don't remember whether I got punished for eating all of them, but I think I was sick enough she didn't punish me.
Well, when you got sick, were there any sort of home remedies your mother used?
Oh, my gosh.
Like what?
Skunk oil.
No, we didn't have that. My dad always had liquor. Always had liquor. And there was some kind of salve
that stunk. What did they mix up with that skunk oil? They'd render that skunk fat.
Oh, my gosh.
My mother didn't use it.
No, we didn't have that.
My mother didn't use it.
Well, we did.
And what was skunk oil supposed to do for you?
Well, they mixed something with it, I think. And then whenever you'd come down with a real bad old cold or something, they'd put it all over your... Well, now, the oil didn't stink like a skunk.
Yeah.
It really didn't have any odor to it. The skunk oil didn't.
It soaked in, I suppose.
It soaked
in. My mother said, "If you aren't better, I'll make up some skunk oil." And boy, I tell you, we could get better in nothing flat.
Suddenly you felt better.
And they put a few drops of coal oil on a teaspoon of sugar. Mm-hmm. And you'd take that for a real bad cough.
I don't think I ever had to take that. I don't remember what I took, but...
Well, I did.
I remember to clean you out twice a year in the spring. You would take a great big tablespoonful of castor oil, and then you'd take a mouthful of ground coffee and chew that.
That doesn't sound pleasant at all.
And I remember one remedy that they had, and that's when you burned your hand, and I had burned my hand. and they thought the heat drawed that out. Well, of course, it drove it further. And I screamed and I hollered. I remember that. But they held it up to the lamp. I had to hold that hand up to the lamp. And it hurt so bad. But they thought they was doing
right.
something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, instead of putting it in some of that cold water.
Yeah.
Speaking of cold water, in the wintertime when we'd go to bed, why, next morning you'd get up and we always had a bucket or I think it was a big old stone jar or something that we had our water in, that we our drinking water. And that sucker'd be froze.
Mm-hmm.
That's how cold the house was.
Yeah.
And we had so many old quilts and stuff on you. And I was, of course, a kid. I couldn't hardly turn over at night because it was just so heavy. You just couldn't hardly turn over. And they'd always, my mother would always warm up a little old blanket or something. And they'd have bricks at the foot of the bed. And then wrap that, she'd get it warm around the stove. Wrap it around you, and you'd run into this old cold bedroom because, see, it never had any heat
right.
all day. Tuck you in bed under all these old covers. You said, lay there all night because you couldn't turn over.
Yep, I remember them heating bricks and wrapping them up for your feet.
And that felt so good, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it sure did.
Running that old cold bedroom.
Oh, gosh, yes. And but we always had flannel blankets,
yeah,
I mean, or something to...
Not these slick-type sheets.
Yeah, there wasn't sheets. They was blankets or blanket sheets. That's what they called, blanket sheets.
And I was supposed to get in the kindling so my dad could make a fire the next morning. One morning, Dad got up, no kindling. He come in and woke me up. And he said, this time, I'll go out and find some kindling. But if it ever happens again... You're the one that's going to get out of your nice warm bed and go get the kindling. And I don't think I ever forgot it.
That was enough of a threat.
Right. Well, what he said, he did. I mean, that wasn't no what if. It was the law.
His word
if he
was
said
his bond.
That's the way it was.
Yep.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Miss Cole, about... you had answered this question on here about the gypsies, tramps, and you said that you'd remembered your mother giving the family a comb.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us that story?
Well, there was people that was just going through the country. I don't know. We always called them gypsies. But anyway, they come down the road, and they stopped and come in, and I think they was wanting something for their horses, to feed their horses or something, and... they always got a little bit of food each place they'd stop, you know. And this wagon, it was an old covered wagon. That's what it was, just a covered wagon. And they had several little old kids. And you've probably seen little kids that their hair was just so matted, maybe not. But it was just so matted, it was pitiful. And anyway, my mother asked her if she had a comb. And she said, well, we started out with one, but we lost it somewhere along the way. And so my mother went in the house and scrounged around, and she found a comb. One of these, they had them about this big in them days. We did. And it had three or four teeth out of it somewhere, but she gave that to this lady. And they was so happy to get that comb so they could comb their hair again. But they were just so matted, it just, you know, it was just terrible.
Well, so do you remember anything about ever being scared of these people you called gypsies?
No. I wasn't afraid to know.
We weren't afraid of people.
We never did lock the doors.
Yeah. No, doors was never
ever,
locked.
Everything was wide open. And
if they were, it was because it was blown open by the wind.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, we used to have a door that the wind would blow open. They were so often.
We had plenty of wind.
Yep, we had plenty of wind.
What about, while we're on that subject of transient type people, tramps or hobos? Did you ever have any experiences with tramps or hobos coming by looking for work?
Mm-hmm. See, really,
they stopped in there and they said they didn't have very much and stuff. And my land, about three or four of them unloaded and started picking up everything they could get. And my mother went out there and told them she was giving them so long to get off the place, and they left.
Well, see, we...
Good for her.
We lived off the highway, or off the road, you see, a fourth of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly half a mile from the north road and a fourth of a mile from the east road. So we didn't have those. There was a fellow that come through. Of course, it's old Watkins products.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember my mother, that's after my daddy died, she would give him maybe a couple old hens or a dozen eggs or something for some spices or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made regular trips maybe once every two or three years he'd come by. But as far as, you know, people coming in wanting hobos or gypsies, he didn't have them.
Seems fairly dependent on where you lived. If you lived close to an intersection.
Yes, if you lived along a road where, you know, I imagine that was right.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about any friends or neighbors you had that left when times got hard?
Well, the neighbors just about a quarter of a mile north of us had a... there was a girl that just about my age, and we played together all the time. And when all these dust bowls came up, why, they had an auction sale and sold everything they had and went to California.
Did you stay in touch with your friend?
No. Probably couldn't afford a 3-cent postage stamp. Because I remember one time another girl that was in the vicinity, she lived further away. But anyway, we was playing together one day. I don't know how it's come we even got together. But anyway, she had a little old rubber doll about so long, you know. And it had a little green dress with red ruffles for sleeves and a red sash. And I thought that was the most beautiful dress that ever was. And she said, well, I'll sell it to you for a penny. So I went to the folks, asked them if I could have a penny to buy that dress. And they said, well, we don't have a penny to spare. We can't do it. And, you know, you think about it now, but a penny back then was worth something.
Penny.
Because you could probably buy a shirt for 7 cents and maybe a pair of overalls for a quarter. But they told me they just didn't have a penny to spare. And so, but that's how hard up times was. I mean, you watched your pennies.
I was trying to think when I come run across that question. I don't think there was anybody around there that left, you know, on account of the Dust Bowl. I can't...
Well, the Radcliffes did.
I can't. Right now, I can't think of anybody.
They didn't even live close to us, leave.
They just kept struggling like
probably
we did.
Probably didn't have anything to leave on.
Yeah.
Well, now that's...
Can afford
that's
to.
It. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I took money to leave. And
yes.
But my dad said he'd worked hard for that land, and... And he was going to stay there as long as he could. When he homesteaded on that place, the rules was you had to homestead, build this little house, and live there for 6 months, and then it was yours. So he did that. He was 19 years old. He's by himself. He lived on it. Then he went to Woodward. After he got his 6 months, he went to Woodward and worked in a shoe shop in... got some money so he could buy some lumber to build him a proper house because he just had a little old shack that he was living in. Went back when he finally got back out there, his little old shack was gone. Somebody had stole it. They had moved it, but he was gone, see, for about 6 months or so.
He didn't go back to it.
No, not for about 6 months or so.
Because
it wasn't like just jumping in the car and going, about 12 miles north of here to Woodward.
You rode a horse back then.
Somebody stole his house.
They
stole his house. They did.
It seems crazy now.
So he built him another one. And then by the time that I come along, he had built another house, and we always called that other little, the shack. That's just what we called it, the shack. And in the summertime, we'd usually put a bed out there, and some of us girls would sleep out in the shack with all the windows and doors open, you know. And that's where Mom done her washing, was out in the shack. And of course, we didn't have any running water, and my dad and my brother, they built a little old thing up against the shack, and they set a barrel up on top, and we'd fill that barrel in the summertime of the morning, fill that barrel early in the morning. And then, of course, they had some old gunny sacks, I think, on frames or something around this, and you could go out there at night and turn this spigot and have your shower before you go to bed out of this barrel of warm water. And it was. And we'd do that in the summertime. And that was great. You know?
Oh, yeah. You didn't have to get in the tub.
And then didn't have to carry the tub
That's
in.
Right.
Or carry
That's
the tub
right.
out.
Right.
Because we had
right.
to take a bath just in an old wash tub.
Yeah.
Oh, we had an oblong one. Why don't you
we didn't have an oblong until I was in high school.
Well, I guess we didn't either until, yeah, you're right.
But we'd climb the ladder and fill that old barrel by a bucket, you know, just climb the ladder, get a bucket and climb it and to fill that barrel. And then that night everybody could get under there and take a little shower. You had to be real careful not to use too much water.
Yeah.
That'd be enough for everybody.
Well, what would you say was your fondest memory in this time?
I don't know. Like I say, we didn't know he was hard up. We were all just having fun.
There was other people that had more money than we did and had more things, but...
It didn't bother us.
That didn't seem to bother me.
It didn't bother me a bit. Because I wasn't old enough to really see what... Because we didn't get off of the farm very often.
Yeah. Well, before my father died, he bought a Dodge car. I had a picture of that. I should have brought it. 25 or 26 Dodge car. And I'm telling you, we were uptown.
I really thought you were uptown.
I know it. And of course, it had the curtains. You put curtains on the side if it's in winter.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't live too long after we bought that. But anyway, that was that was a highlight in my life.
Well, I know our old Model T, when it was running, it had curtains.
Yeah.
You know,
this was black and with a cloth top. I've got a picture of him and I in it down there, but I didn't get here with it. But that was a highlight of my life.
Anything you remember in particular as being a highlight of your times back then?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe a day when you didn't have to work on the farm?
Probably. No, there wasn't any.
No, there wasn't any days you didn't have to work.
You worked from the time you got up till you went to bed.
When did you leave the farm? How old were you when you left there? Were you through school or get married or something where you left that farm?
Well, that farm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I lived on the farm when I got married.
Yeah. When did you get married?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
1935.
Okay, so you were on with your mother and siblings until then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever notice a time, anything that sort of stands out as you kind of went, whoa, things are kind of hard now? Was there ever a time you just kind of...
Oh, my land, you didn't have time to think about that.
What about you guys? Any time you kind of went, oh, things are kind of bad now?
Even when my brothers worked away from home, you know, that just made that much more for us to do.
Yeah, I guess that would be true.
Well, like I say, everybody was hard up, and we didn't leave the farm. The kids didn't. Very seldom. I mean, of course, now we went about a half a mile to Sunday school and church. We walked back and forth, you know. We'd walk up there and walk home, and sometimes they'd have a revival up there, and I remember having to walk home when it'd be dark and so cold, and I didn't know why in the world we had to go up there. I was so sleepy.
Well, the church we went to down at Tears Chapel, it was on south of the Little Red Schoolhouse. Of course, there was a church in Arnett. But my mother's sisters went to this Tears Chapel Church. So that's when we went to church, that's where we went.
Hmm.
We didn't go every Sunday, of course, especially in the wintertime.
How do you spell that church name? What was it?
Tears Chapel?
Yeah,
it's T-E-R-S. T-I-E-R. T-I-E-R-R-C-E. Seems to me like there's two R's in it. Chapel, C-H-A-P-E-L.
All right. It's an odd name, Tierce.
So is Ben. What's the history? The guy that either owned the land or built the church or the first minister seemed like the name was Tierce, the way I remember.
So do you remember something that marks your memory of when things got better?
Well, it began, the weather changed. We began to get rain.
Yes, when the rain came.
It's when the rains began to come. 38, 39, 40, long in there, it seems like, and the prices of what we had to sell, I think the New Deal must have come in. Some Roosevelt was in then. And I think the New Deal come in, of which, of course, we thought that was wonderful. We didn't know we was getting into the mess we're in now, but the government involved. But anyway, it was helping the farmers keep what they had and to keep going.
So would you say that people in Gage, the Gage area, were very supportive of FDR and the New Deal?
I really don't remember. I just know he was president.
Yes, he was a Democrat, wasn't he? Okay. My relatives are diehard Democrats, so he was a wonderful man, and he did wonderful things.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sure there's lots of people there. Just the opposite. They're Republican, so he wasn't, and he didn't.
That's right. And then when I married a Republican. But you know, I can't. That don't mean that much to me.
Yeah. Me either. I'm not
it's
that.
It's the person that I try to look at.
Well, what would you say that has affected you the most, having lived through the Dirty 30s and the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma? What do you think has affected you the most, and you still see that today?
Learning how to save and what you have, spend wisely. And keep it. I mean, take care of it.
And use what you have.
And use what you have, yes.
And appreciate it.
That's right.
How about for you? What kind of things have you carried with you because you lived through that time?
Me's never throw anything away.
I don't know. We never did figure it was a time or anything like that.
Yeah, just normal day stuff, huh?
That was just life.
Yeah.
But I think those who did go through the Dust Bowl days, I think they come out better people.
Yeah.
Most of them did, because they knew what a nickel was. These kids nowadays don't know what a dollar, $100 is. I think that's one thing that most of the Dust Bowl people can appreciate now.
So you think the Dust Bowl had some positive side effects to it, or the depression and the drought?
Yes, later on. They didn't have it then, but later on. I think it taught people how to save, how to control what they had, and not waste. There's so much waste now. So much.
Did the Dust Bowl and those dust storms change how you felt about the environment and Mother Nature? You said that when it started to rain again, that's when it marked a good time. So you watched the weather a little closer than you did before?
Man, during that Dust Bowl times, I know we watched the weather. We'd look up there and see a little cloud. We'd be so excited.
Oh, I know.
And
come on, give us some drop.
But it wouldn't be if it did rain, it just showered. Because we had beds outside because it was so hot in the summertime that we'd even sleep outside. And if a little old cloud,
when it rained, in a way, kind of made things worse for a little bit, so there'd be this mud everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. After
especially where some people lived, and they lived in that country where this mud was, and they couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And my mother sewed old gunny sacks together and hung them up over the. We had a south door and hung them up over that. Had a big old tub of water. We'd carry water and put in that tub, and we'd get those gunny sacks wet. Hang it back up on the door, and oh, that breeze just felt so good. Well, of course, it would dry out in a couple, 30 minutes
or
40.
Soak it again.
So we'd soak it again and hang it up there and stand. Oh, that was just great, that breeze just felt so good.
This house, my dad built a house over here. I think it's these two rooms. Well, I think he moved it from over here to where it is. Then he built on this kitchen. Well, then there's a porch on the north side, and this is on the south. That was we never suffered from heat in the summer because you know because see those they were screened in, and that breeze would blow through there, and it was we never suffered from the heat. And I don't think the summer got quite as hot as they do now.
Well, I remember those terrible hot.
Well, I guess that maybe I didn't. Of course, we lived on a creek. When it got hot, I'd go down and play in the sand.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Catch poison ivy.
What would you do if you got poison ivy? What would you slap on that? Keep it from itching.
My mother would take, would open up a shell, shotgun shell, and take the powder out and mix sweet cream with that and rub it over it.
Sometimes I think parents would just see how much their kids would put up with on these cures.
Well, anyway, you didn't scratch it.
Well, no, I mean, they really thought they was doing good, I'm sure, you know.
But that's the one thing that, of course, we had this poison ivy all over that creek. And until I learned what it looked like, see, it's a three-leaf green thing. Well, they finally taught me what it looked like. Well, then I began to stay away. But I'd catch it every summer. Every summer I'd catch poison ivy. And come the shotgun powder and sweet cream.
Then after I was married, we lived up at Cheney, and you never had anything in the house to eat that you didn't have covered up.
Yeah.
And you had to have it covered up good, too.
Right.
And you got to the chicken house to gather the eggs, and you had to knock the push the dirt off of them before you could gather your eggs.
You had to dig for your eggs.
Right. Dig them out.
You had to dig for your eggs.
Yeah. And then I gathered them twice a day, and then later on when you go out there, you could do the same thing over again.
Yeah, it was my job to set the table, and of course we had an oilcloth on the table. And I'd get a wet rag, and I'd wash it off, and then wash out that rag, and I'd have to do that at least twice and sometimes three times. Get your spoon, knife, and fork, and put it down. Get your plate out of the cabinet, wipe the dust out of it, put your plate upside down. Get your glass and wipe it with your tea towel and set it upside down. That's why you set the plate to the table till the meal was ready. And then when you sat down, well, then you took this out and set it up. And flies, we had so many flies in the house. And we'd open the front door, and everybody would get clear to the back in the other rooms and get tea towels. We'd shake them. And the flies
out?
Yeah, and they'd go out the door. Then we'd go back to the back and do that again until we could get all the flies out that we could. Then we'd get the fly swatter and kill flies. And I remember in the summertime when the harvesters would come, well, we always cooked dinner for them, you know. And I'd sit around the table and shoo the flies away so they could eat without flies getting on their food. And that's, I mean, because there were just that many flies.
Yeah.
And, of course,
flies.
We had some screens on our windows, but they probably had holes in them. I don't know.
Yeah, they'd come in every time the door was open.
And the old back door that we had at that time was just boards, just up and down boards, and then had another board crosswise, and you could see cracks out that door. And, of course, them old flies probably just crawled in them cracks. I don't know. But, oh, they had so many flies. I sure appreciate the fact we don't have flies now.
Me too. We got ways of getting rid of them, too.
What about bed bugs? Do you ever have to get rid of bed bugs?
No, but I had the itch when I was a kid.
Yeah?
My oldest brother went to Stillwater on some kind of something, and they stayed overnight, and he slept with some other kid. Come home, have the itch.
What was the itch?
Well, I don't know. That's just what we call it. It's got a long name, I'm sure, but...
Your skin itches. You just want to scratch it off.
And it was some kind of a bug or something.
I
suppose
it was. I don't know what it was. Yeah.
And you just itch, you know, just everywhere, and you scratch it, and it'd get red. And what was it called? But just the itch. Every one of our family.
We always said the 7 years itch.
Yeah, 7 years.
I don't know what the medical name
that's
was
a real
for
thing
it.
Too.
But, yeah,
but we went to the. They took Virgil to the. Dr. Shattuck, when he come down with it so bad, and they give him some kind of great big old bottle of something. Oh, it smelled terrible. and put that all over him and washed all the bedding. But, I mean, it went through everybody, and I was the last one to get it. And when I did come down with it, it was in between my fingers, and they just split and be red and itch. Just, and if you scratched them, it made it worse. And had to put that old stinking stuff on. And then whenever you got to where you didn't itch, well, they washed all the bedding or burned it or something. I know sometimes they had to burn bedding because it was in the bedding, you know, just... But he'd went still water on some kind of 4-H something. And he said he noticed that old boy scratching all night.
Oh, my gosh.
So then he had to...
Found out why.
Got the itch.
Is there anything that we didn't ask you about that...
No, I don't know. I can't think of it now, anyway.
Let's see.
So I think I can't think of anything else.
I think we've covered the bases. So,
I know we always had something to eat, but we sure ate a lot of beans.
Yes, we always had something to eat. Might have been what you wanted, but...
Yeah, us kids...
Didn't go hungry, though.
No, we didn't go hungry.
Us kids used to...
And we ought to have clothes.
We'd say about, what are we going to have today? Are we going to have potatoes and beans, or are we going to have beans and potatoes?
Choice one or choice two.
And during those dry days after the Dust Bowl was kind of over, anyway, the year it was dry, and about all we could raise was black-eyed peas.
Yeah.
Oh,
we raised butter beans, and then I'd have to pick them things. And they had a thing on the end of the bean pod, about like that, just like a needle, just sharp as it could be. Huh. And, of course, they let them dry on the vine.
Uh-huh.
And then in September, that's when we'd have to pick them. When we got home from school, we'd have to go to the butter bean patch and pick them butter beans. And, oh, man, I had my fingers stuck up so bad, because you'd think you was picking it where you wouldn't hit one of them. Well, then there'd be another one there that jab you.
We never did raise butter beans.
Well, we did.
I remember those black eyed
peas. How lucky you were if you didn't get that to pick them.
I don't remember.
So do you eat black eyed peas on New Year's Day for good luck?
Sure.
Yeah, we like them too, because it's good. It's good for you.
Yeah, I like black eyed peas.
I still like them.
You just kind of said that like maybe you weren't a big black eyed pea fan.
I still like them. I still eat them.
My folks used to buy beans by the 100-pound sack.
Wow.
When he'd go to town, he'd buy a 100-pound sack of beans.
And flour
whenever,
and sugar,
yeah,
all of that.
And,
of course, you didn't go to town very often.
Mm-mm.
Oh, one of the things that really did, that I remember well, when my father was still living, he'd go to Shattuck, which was 8, 9, 10. Must have been about 11 miles from where we lived. Now, you wouldn't go the highway. There was a mile east of there. Well, that was just a mile from where we lived. He'd go up that road, and he'd leave early in the morning, and my mother would fix for ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she'd make the custard, get it cooled, and he would bring home a block, 100-pound block of ice. And we had a 6-gallon can of ice cream.
No.
Oh, man. That wasn't very often, but...
Once in a while for a
treat. In the summertime. Yeah. We'd maybe 2 or 3 times during the summer. We'd have was that ice cream good, because it's made out of cream, whole milk, eggs.
That'd kill you now, because you had raw eggs in it, I'm sure.
Those raw eggs aren't near as bad for you as the thing now. Yeah.
Well, during that time when the government took over, I remember my dad furnished a team of horses and a slip. Now, a slip was just like a great big shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, the horses pulled.
That the horses pulled, and you held on to it like this. Mm-hmm. And they drug the dirt up and made that highway north of Shattuck. Now, he had to drive them horses down there. It was probably 8 miles or 10, mm-hmm. all this, and used that slip, and he got $2 a day. And that's what saved us, really, because he got $2 a day. And I remember he'd take a boiled egg, a cottage cheese sandwich, and maybe a cookie or a piece of cake or something. But we didn't get to eat the eggs or this cookie or cake, but once a week we'd have a dessert. But my dad would get a dessert with his. But can you imagine? Eat a boiled egg and a cottage cheese sandwich and maybe a cookie.
I never heard anybody having a cottage cheese sandwich.
No, I never.
Well,
I never
you know, there wasn't any way to keep anything from spoiling.
Right.
And he'd have to leave of a morning when it was dark, and he never got home till dark, and we had to do all the chores when he'd done that. Remember, we had to do everything. And but I've often thought of that, just how in the world, what if I had to go and eat a cottage cheese sandwich and a boiled egg and maybe a cookie for my lunch and work those horses all day and get $2? But $2 went a long ways.
That cottage cheese was made fresh every day, too, wasn't it?
I suppose. I remember us making it, and Mom even used to make some of that. They had a cheese press, and he might have had just a cheese sandwich, too, you know.
Yeah.
But we had she'd have start out with a tub full of milk. And whenever she got it through, we'd have a round of cheese, about that big around and about that high, maybe. And it had this old press where you just wind it down and down and down and down and squeeze that
moisture away out of it. Yep.
And she'd put some kind of coloring in it, and it was usually kind of orangish-like, you know. And made her own cheese.
Goodness.
Made her own hominy when they had corn. And we ate boiled wheat for breakfast. A lot of time was our cereal for breakfast. She'd go to the barn and get some wheat that we'd raised and wash it real good and put it on the soap and soak it all night and cook it the next morning, and it'd take 30 minutes or so to boil, I suppose. We'd put pure cream on it and eat it, and I thought it was delicious.
Is it kind of like oatmeal in texture? Or?
Well, it's just wheat. No, it was still in its kernels, but they'd be soft. And it just whole wheat.
The first health cereal.
Yeah. I guess.
You pay a big expensive price for that now. Well, minus the cream.
Right.
And we ate a lot of mush.
Yeah, we had mush.
And then fry it for breakfast the next morning, and I thought that was so good.
Yep, it was. Because we didn't have it.
But we ate what we did and what we had. And like if my folks would butcher a pig, well, there was probably there was three families right there. They'd divide that pig up. Well, then the next time it'd be this family time to butcher one, and then it would be this family's to butcher one. And we'd just divide it up because, you know, there was no refrigeration or nothing. You had to either eat it right then or can it. And I know the folks canned a lot of sausage and stuff. One way they fixed sausage, they'd fry it, put it in an old crock, big little white crock jars, pour enough grease on it, they'd fill just as much. And then pour it over grease, then put another layer of sausage and grease and another layer of sausage down in the cellar, and we'd go down and dig some sausage out of that grease and take it up and warm it up, and that's what we ate. Thought it was good.
Probably was, yeah.
It was good. It didn't have any insecticides or pesticides or anything else in it.
But just cover it up with that grease, and it'd keep.
That's right, and it'd keep for a long time in the cellar.
And we'd eat it up.
Yep.
Then somebody else would butcher.
Yep.
And they, like Lila said, they'd eat the brains and everything else, and Mom would bake head cheese. And
oh, gosh, yes.
See them old pig's heads? And boil
pig's
them.
Feet? Pig's feet.
They'd boil them. And,
would you eat calf brains or cow brains today?
I never did eat the brains. My dad did, but I wouldn't
I doubt it.
I never had brains.
Those chicken brains is the only one that I
remember.
Even
chickens had brains. They must have been.
They were little, but oh, was that good? Oh, it was good.
You with tweezers or something?
It was little, and
well, brains are real good when you mix them with eggs.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
I've never had it, so I can't really say.
Me either. I don't want to have it.
I don't think brains. I don't think I think they have them sometimes. Yeah. In the stores.
Oh, yeah.
But I like that head cheese after the
well, I went
made.
Some,
but.
I went someplace and ate some of those, and I decided I could do that. And it wasn't very big. And my mother says, well, I guess you can try this when we butcher if you want to. And I fixed that, and my land, I ate those up before I hardly got them fixed.
But they didn't
waste
anything.
They have some fans somewhere
in
the brain today.
We sure didn't waste anything.
Huh. And we had some relatives that was on my mother's side that lived in Kansas City, Missouri. And she'd send boxes and boxes of clothes down to us. And my mother would look through them and tear some of them apart and make us girls little dresses and stuff out of the stuff that she'd sent. And I remember one time there was a I suppose it was an evening gown. It was real thin. All that stuff. It just had blood all over it. And I never did understand why she sent that dress.
But anyway,
you can wash it out.
Well, I suppose you could have, but...
Yeah, she's trying to hide something by sending it to your house.
But anyway, we didn't...
You have to soak it first, but you can get it out.
But we didn't use that one. And anything, I mean, every scrap of material that you had on the place you used, you made it for a quilt or done something with it. You
or
didn't
a dress
throw,
or
you
blouse
didn't throw
or
nothing
something.
Away.
Right.
Yeah. And my mother ripped up old suits and stuff that she would send and made quilt comforts.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of them heavy comforts I had over in the world. I couldn't turn over.
Then they put a lining on it and put some cotton in it or something.
It'd be so heavy, you just.
Yeah,
but it was so cold. If they hadn't, we froze to death like that water. We'd have been stiff when morning came. People that didn't ever live through that don't know what hard times are.
Sure, they sure don't.
Well, it's 20 after 6.
Okay. Is this all you want to know?
For now.
For today's session.